Deuteronomy chapter 28, I want to read the first 14 verses. Then I want to jump over to Deuteronomy 29, and I doubt that we will get to 30. It's not that it's a whole lot of reading. It is some scriptures to read, but there's scriptures to meditate and ponder over, as this is the will of the Lord concerning us in Jesus' mighty name. Deuteronomy chapter 28, when you get there, say amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. I've heard some amen, so that means that you're there. Verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Everybody say elevation. Say, God, I can talk. The Father is about to elevate and to promote in his sight and in the sight of all the nations. Oh, you guys have help tonight. You have it on the big screen. That's good. I should come down there and just read with you. God hasn't changed his mind about his desire to bless his people. Even though we're reading what's called the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Law, the Torah, if you will, nevertheless, God has not changed his mind. He has no problem with blessing his people. It's just the same thing happens whether it's Old Covenant or New Covenant, that when God begins to bless his people, many times they have a tendency to wander off and wander away from God. And that's where the problem lies, where we all of a sudden, during the time of lack, we're on our face, we're on our knees, we're petitioning God. And then in the time of plenty, we forget about what got us to that place of plenty and pulled us out of that place of lack. And it's the same fervency, and that's a good word to use, the same fervency that we use to pull us up out of lack to keep us going in the time of plenty as well. Some of the patriarchs, which were like Joseph, who was tremendously blessed, who had the interpretation of dreams, and he saw a dream. Of course, he had a couple of dreams, and he shared it with his brothers and with his parents, and they weren't happy about it. Nevertheless, God fulfilled it in spite of the odds of what Joseph had to go through, being thrown into the pit, being sold into Egyptian slavery, being brought to that place of Egypt, and then being a servant in Potiphar's house, lied on by Potiphar's wife, thrown in prison, there in prison. In prison, God raises him up, and he interprets some dreams for a couple of men. Those dreams came to pass. The man that got blessed forgot about him. That's another, you know, blow to him, and he's got to still deal with this thing. But then there's another dream that comes up, and it's Pharaoh's dream, and nobody in the land can interpret it. Joseph's the only one who can interpret it, and he says, it's not me, but it's the God that I serve. He's going to interpret this dream for you, and he tells him what it's all about and what it means. It brings him out of that place from being in prison, from being thrown into a pit, from being sold into slavery, from being thrown into jail for no reason of his own, to bringing him out and putting him in second in command over Egypt. Nothing is impossible with our God. And when Joseph got to that place of being in power and prominence in Egypt, he didn't forget who he was. And the very things that got him to that place, he didn't let go of those very things. But he remained faithful all the way until the end. His father, Jacob, remained faithful all the way to the end. The very thing that got him into under his uncle Laban's care, and where his uncle Laban changed his wages 10 times Every time he did something wrong to Jacob, God did something right for Jacob and promoted him even in the face of being deceived and being tricked, if you will. Jacob was not the firstborn, but nevertheless, he hungered for the firstborn's blessing. He wanted the favor of God upon his life, and so he did what he had to do. When his brother wanted some soup, pea soup, Jacob said to him, "Sell me your birthright. You sell me your birthright, you can have this soup." He could care less. Esau could care less about his birthright. And we can go off on some tangents and side trips about the birthright itself, because we still do those things today. We still easily give up our position in Christ for something that will appease our flesh. Every time we appease our flesh against the will and counsel of God, we're forfeiting our birthright position. The blessing is that God is merciful and gracious, and all we have to do is repent. You see that over and over throughout the Old Covenant. God was simply calling his people to the place of repentance. Now, some of them never repented, and they perished. Those that repented, they received the blessing and favor of God, the mercy of God. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we go on to know the Lord. And he shall come, his coming shall be as the prepared as the morning." Dot, dot, dot. I think that's how it goes. "And he shall come to us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain on the earth." It's just a turn. It's not a revolving turn where we go in towards him and then we go back and we go, you know. It's like, no, just come. Come and continue to experience the blessing and favor of God. The next book over from Hosea is Joel. And Joel prophesies, and Joel says in the Amplified, he's like, "Turn and keep on coming until every hindrance is removed and the broken fellowship is restored." Keep coming, because you haven't bottomed God out. In other words, the blessing that got you to come to him, there's more than that. If that was good enough to get you to that place, he's got something even better to sustain you. He's a good, 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 good God. He's a good, 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 good daddy. He's got even more to sustain us. So, the Father hasn't changed his mind. It's always been the same thing. When John the Baptist started his earthly ministry, what were the words that came out of his mouth? Hallelujah. Repent, the blessing is at hand. Repent, God's order is at hand. Repent, God's way of doing things is at hand. Turn from your way, turn towards God. When John's ministry ended, Jesus' ministry came into full fruition, if you will. But what were the first words that came out of Jesus' mouth? Repent. God's kingdom is at hand. God's way of doing things is at hand. Repent. Turn towards him. Repentance is simple. Turn. It's just a turn. Glory to God. As easy as you can pivot on your feet, that's how easy it is to get into the favor and blessing of God. Stay there. Never go back to the stuff that will take away. Keep going towards that which continues to provide. So, he never changed his mind. The promises that Jesus came up with were greater than the promises that the old covenant had. Jesus says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive. He's like Donald Trump. No, he's not Donald Trump, okay? I'm gonna make my point. Listen to what I got to say. For every problem that comes before him, other than the stupid stuff that they keep doing, Donald Trump, we're going to take care of that. We're going to take care of our veterans. We're going to take care of this. We're going to bring the jobs back. They're coming back from China. They're coming back from Japan. They're coming back from Mexico. They're coming back. We're going to take care of that. Everything. We're going to take care of that. We're going to do that. And the people are, how are you going to do it, Donald? How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? We want to know how. And the individuals that have the answers, that seemingly appear to be the answers to these things, when they get elected, they will become a hindrance and a stumbling block. They will do nothing that they said they will do. As articulate as they are, you will still come into the same gridlock. This is why they don't want Donald in power, because he does not play according to their rules. I'm not advocating for him. I'm just showing you how messed up our government is. It does not work for you anymore. And that's his problem. That's Donald's. He's like, the government doesn't work anymore. The things that I'm coming up with and saying, they're like, oh, you can't do that. Oh, you can't do that. And then they think about it and then it's like, you know what? He's got a point here. Maybe we do need to. And the whole thing about it is, and the whole reason I brought that up, is he's simple and straightforward to where the common person can understand. He can relate. And it's like, yeah, we need to do something about this. And we can do something about this. We don't need a whole lot of jargon. We just need to do it. He's a proven man of action. He's gone from a millionaire to a billionaire. And he wants to share his learning and experience. He wants to go in and show people how to make something work, as opposed to all of the gridlock that just hinders and brings us into a place of stagnation. This administration wants to weaken our military. He's like, we want to strengthen our military. We don't want to be weak concerning our military. This is what makes America great. The fact that we have some people to fight for us. This is what makes the kingdom of God great. That God would have some intercessors who know how to fight in the realm of the spirit for the victories of the saints of God. Now, Jesus is the ultimate victor, and he's the ultimate intercessor. But we have him interceding in heaven, and the Holy Ghost here interceding on earth. We are fighting a battle that we cannot lose when we're on the Lord's side. It's not about getting God on our side. It's about us getting on the Lord's side. That's where all of the victory lies. That's where the breakthroughs are. That's where the miracles happen. And so with him, he makes it simple. And so Jesus comes and he just makes it simple. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Well, how does that work? You know, how many prayers do I have to pray? Do I have to pray every day? Do I have to pray one day? Do I have to ask all day? How do I do? Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. He makes it simple. Well, how many laws do I have to fulfill today? How many times do I have to pray today? Do I pray one time? Do I pray three times? What do I do? He makes it very simple. The just shall live by faith. God makes things simple for us. We make it complicated. They're trying to ridicule this man because they're saying the world is so complex now and so complicated now. It's only as complicated as the people that occupy different places, different positions, if you will, in different places. It's only as complicated as knowing how the mind of men work. All of these discoveries and all of these things that we learn in schools now, they make things complex, but life is simple. How difficult is it, Deacon Aquino, if your neighbor needs a meal to fix it for them? It don't take you going and having to fill out forms and then finding out what their income is and how much their rent is and all of these other responsibilities. It's like, here's a meal. God makes things simple. Am I making any sense? He simplifies things. So the blessing and the favor of God is very simple. And this is what God puts upon his sons and daughters. He puts the blessing on them. And when the blessing is on you, whatever you do, we see it with Abraham, we see it with Isaac, we see it with Jacob, we see it on Joseph's lives, and it didn't stop there. It traces all the way to Jesus. David won victories not because David was strong. He defeated Goliath, not because David was, he defeated the bear and the lion, not because he was, Samson. Though he blew it, he still fulfilled what God wanted him to do. Take down the Philistines. Simple. Simple. Don't get mixed up in the complexities of this current world's trend, if you will. Keep it simple. You have what you need. Faith. And you have the exact measure to take you to the place God wants you to be. Don't pursue your own interest. Pursue his. Let him guide you in the direction he would have you to go. Get in the back seat. Leave the driver's seat. Let him take you for a ride. Be the best ride you ever had. Like that 60-something-year-old man. Couldn't believe it. He's like, he took that heroin and it just took him on a trip he had never been on in life. Those are my words to describe it. I'm like, man, first of all, you're up in your 60s. This heroin stuff is nothing to play around with. But he got addicted through medications and things like that, which is happening to many. And it's a sad scenario. Our young people are having trouble with it as well. We hear about the methamphetamine. These drugs will drive you crazy, and yet people are still doing it on a daily basis. Freebasing, which is what crack cocaine used to be called. It's like it gives you that rush, that hit, if you will. And you just never want to come down from it. And the moment you start coming down, then you want another hit to take you back up to that place. You don't win when you become that user. You lose. The only ones that make out is the ones who sell it. But the minute they start using it, they go down too. They start smoking up, drinking up, using up their profits on themselves, consuming it upon their own lust. It's a conspiracy of destruction. Spawned out of the pit of hell. So, God says, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently, there's that word diligently. And I think that was the focus. That word diligently, meaning be quick to respond, quick to obey, be excited about this life in Christ. Be excited about hearing the voice of the Lord. That if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. It is okay to be placed above all nations. It doesn't make us better. We just have the favor of God. Amen? And the favor of God will take you up. And the whole purpose of taking you up is to bring others up as well. That they may see your exaltation, and when they ask you why, you won't say it's because of my great intelligence, it's because of my skills and my capabilities, you will give glory and honor to God. It's not because you were a faithful and loyal employee, it's because it was the favor of God. God opened this door, I walked through it. He gave me favor, he put the blessing on my life. The blessing is simple. It's the anointing of God to prosper you, to benefit you, to bless you. So that whatever you set your hands to do, this is why you got to get under the fountain to receive it first, so that whatever you set your hands to do, you will prosper. Make your way to the place where God wants you to be. That's not a struggle. It's a decision. That's better than your response, but I'll preach it anyway. that's not a struggle. It's a decision. Make the decision to get into that place where God can pour out his oil on you. And the anointing that is poured out upon you causes the blessing and favor of God to come your way, so that whatever you do, you don't do anything illegal, immoral, or unethical. You're a child of God. You're the son of God. You don't do anything evil or wicked. You do things righteous, holy, pure, and perfect in God's eyesight. And whatever you set your hands to do, it prospers. How did you do this? I didn't do it. The Lord did it. And it's marvelous in his eyes. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. I simply obey. He speaks, I obey. He declares, I follow. So, hearken unto the voice. God will exalt or elevate above the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. That is the key right there. Because obedience is better than all of the sacrifices that you can try and offer up before God. Trying to do it your own way is not going to get it. But simply obeying God, when he says something, it's like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll do it if it's unpopular. Yes, Lord, I'll do it if I don't understand it. Yes, Lord, I'll do it because you said do it. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to wrestle with you to try and get my way. That ain't working. That does not work with God. Okay. All these blessings will overtake thee. Stand to your feet, because we're going to read through these verses. And why don't you read with me, verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Stop. It's like taking the oil. I'm not going to do it literally. I don't think it'll leak, but if it does, that's okay. But it's like getting the oil and being poured out on you. So now, whatever I do will prosper. I can look at a tree, a poplar tree, break off a branch, cut loops in it, or spots, if you will, set it before water, where sheep come to drink and to mate, and whatever I put before them, they become. That's crazy. In the natural, that is crazy. But because a blessing was on Jacob, when he did that, God blessed him. Because of the oil being poured upon Isaac in a time of famine, drought everywhere, nobody's harvesting any crops. There's a lack of water, there's no crops. The soil is hard, brittle, the seed is in the clods of the earth, and it's not producing anything. It's just rotting and dying. But Isaac sows in the land. He was going to go out, but God said, no, stay. And he sowed in the land, and in the same year, he reaped 100 times more than what he sowed. It was the blessing. It was the favor of God on his life. Now, I pray that God will give greater understanding. And if you already had it, just rejoice with me. Praise God. But if you can see now, this is why you'll be blessed in the city and you'll be blessed in the field. Because the blessing is on you. The blessing is not on the city and the blessing is not on the field, but the blessing is on you. And because you go in the city and start doing something, boom, something happens. You go into the field and you start doing something and boom, stuff just starts happening. Why? Because the blessing and favor of God is on you. The anointing of God is on you. When you go into a company, you go there to be a blessing to that company. The company may have been doing good before you came, and they may not have been doing so good and just needed to fill a position. But when you come there, expect things to get better. Why? Because of the blessing, because of the anointing of God. The blessing is the anointing. Isaiah 10:27.
and the yoke shall be destroyed, and the burden shall be removed. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. Therefore, he could heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Why? Because the anointing was on him. Who am I preaching to? It's the anointing. It enables you to do. But you got to get to that place where you have it on you. So that whatever your hands do, it shall prosper. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful. But his delight is where? Why? Because that's where the anointing is. It keeps the oil flowing. It's the anointing where God commands the blessing. So you can get blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Your children are blessed because you're under the anointing. They come up under the anointing. Hallelujah. Those of you who have been without God with your kids and now you're in God with your kids, you notice a difference. The kids notice a difference. That anointing starts to work in the whole household. And, you know, it's just a major difference. It ought to be. Because the anointing is real. And as Pastor Ross says, if the anointing is tangible, then it is transferable. This is why Abraham could pass it on to Isaac. Isaac can pass it on to Jacob. Jacob can pass it on to Joseph. It's transferable. Jesus can transfer it to the church. David said, I've been anointed with fresh oil. Glory. Housewife can turn into super housewife when she goes from not being anointed to being anointed. Parents can go to super parents when they go from not being anointed to being anointed. Students can go from dumb to exceptionally intelligent because the anointing. 10 times better because of the anointing. Get the anointing on your life. So the fruit of your body, your offspring. You tell them knucklehead children, you are blessed because of the anointing of God on my life. And if you don't get right, I'm going to break that thing off you. Praise God. And it's going to get destroyed because of the anointing. Mm-hmm. And the fruit of thy ground, that's your work and your labor. Listen, your animals get blessed. Praise God. Your animals get the blessing. Moo! Praise God. Dogs be ruff, 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 ruff. Glory to God. I got the best master. And you tell him, what's a good dog's name? You tell him, Nalani, you're blessed because of the anointing. Oh! And she starts spinning on her feet. Well, he said, chickens be having more eggs. And whoa, honey, whoa. Praise God. They be laying eggs left and right. Blessing and favor of God. Come on, we're coming into something. Come on, and we're not just going to go ankle deep. We're not just going to go knee deep. We're not just going to go waist deep. Let's swim in the anointing of God that he's pouring out. His word is coming forth. Building faith. Act on your faith. Swim in the anointing. Jesus. So your cattle and the increase of your kine. Hallelujah. The flocks of thy sheep.
Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Start speaking to your checking and savings accounts. Start speaking to your investments. Say, the anointing is on you too, because you belong to me and I belong to God. What's on me gets on you. Tell your neighbor, I'm anointed to prosper. Hallelujah. I'm anointed to prosper. You didn't get anointed to be broke, busted, and disgusted. You didn't get anointed to be all messed up. You got anointed to be a terror to evil works. Hallelujah. The Lord gave you power. Power to get wealth that his covenant may be established. You're anointed for that. Husbands, do you know you got an anointing to love your wife? As Christ loves the church, you're anointed for that. Wives, do you understand and know you've been anointed to honor your husband and reverence him as the Lord, unto the Lord? Singles, do you know that you are anointed to walk in your singlehood and be complete and be whole and serve the Lord with gladness? Make the world envious of you. Make the church envious of you because of your love and devotion and dedication to Christ and Christ alone. You are a faithful spouse unto him. The anointing comes on you even greater. Hallelujah. Let it destroy every yoke. Let it lift every burden. And especially those negative ones that come up to you and, why are you still single? None of your cotton picking business. Amen. Because I'm content with Jesus. That's why. He's a lover of my soul. And it'll take an anointed man or anointed woman to bring me out of where I'm at. If they ain't got no anointing on their lives, I ain't got no time for them. Why am I going to yoke up the anointing with a non-believer? They don't have it. And to get it, they got to go to the same fountain that you had to go to. Hallelujah. Tell them this costs me something. Yeah. Hallelujah. I had to go through a lot to get this, and I ain't giving it up for a cheap thrill or a cheap frill, if you will. Hallelujah. During the most critical time of my life, you know, some things are like, what do you call it when you just keep them around? Not just souvenirs, but they kind of have like almost a sacred value to you. Sentimentals, mementos, what did you say, Brother Vincent? I don't need nobody to go get one, but I do need another checkbook. But this one has seen me through some difficult times. Not that it oversaw me, but at one of the most critical times of my life, I took this and all that I had, and I went before God with it. And I prayed, Lord, that it would never dry out, that you will always make provision. And he's making more. And then, it's been a long time since Minister Denise and I have had an earthly mother. It's been a long time. And I don't say that to make anybody feel a certain way concerning us. I just thank God for those of you who still have parents around and you're taking care of them. That is a tremendous blessing to me. But he gave me a spiritual mother who gave me one of her cards. And this one says, but God. And she preached a little bit on but God. Stay strong because Jesus is coming. And then she gave me another card. And on the front it says, God will not, cannot fail you. And then on the back it says, but God. The Lord your God who goes with you, he will not fail you or forsake you. Sentimental value. And so I keep these in here And it's not the same, but it's like, you know, a Bible where it begins to fall apart, but you still keep it with you. You begin to treasure it because it's been with you through some wars and been with you through some tough times, and you kind of like built a relationship with each other. And I'm not idolizing or anything, but I hope you understand. And so I have this, and I need to replace it, but it brings back the memories of when I began and prophesied and prayed over this, that it would never run dry, and it has not. There have been some lean years, but then there have been some times of plenty, and it has been there, and so I hold it dear. But the whole purpose of bringing this out is to tell you, begin to prophesy to your savings, to your checkings. Begin to prophesy to any investment, any retirement. You better prophesy to your retirements. Prophesy to your 401ks. Prophesy to your PERS, if you will. Prophesy to your retirement that you have sown and put your money away. And even though, as they say, saving for a rainy day or saving for your retirement, begin to speak that it will increase. While others may decrease, it will increase. It will keep going up. We don't know. We don't understand why. But yours seems to be in a place of no loss, but much gain. Amen. Start speaking it over. The anointing is on you. The anointing is not on this. The anointing is here. And because it's here, it can touch this. Amen. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Hallelujah. Check yourself when you're coming into any place. Check yourself. Make sure you're of the right mind. Make sure that you're not, you know, out of sorts of who you are. Always remember, I'm asking the Holy Ghost. He's my senior partner. He is my helper. Holy Ghost, remind me that you are with me. It's easy to get so caught up into the anointing that you forget about the anointing and the one that's with you, that's, you know, causing the anointing to flow, if you will. It's easy to just start thinking about you when you got the host of heaven backing you up, and to be ever mindful that it is the Spirit of God. It's easy. You start giving a testimony, and it's like, you know, and so-and-so was this way, and then I prayed. And it ends up becoming your prayer rather than the one that you prayed to. It's easy. And you have to make certain that you don't take any credit or any glory, but you give the glory to God. So it's the anointing of God that destroys every yoke and lifts every burden. It's the anointing of God that has prospered the Patton household. It is the anointing of God. They have been under the anointing since they've come together. Before they came together, they were both in the same house. It was out of being in the same house that God united them in holy matrimony. And now they have four offspring to testify of that union. It's not just pointing them out, but they're just, you know, right here before you. You know, you see them all the time. It's not that Deacon Patton is, and mind you, he's a great man of God, a great man of faith. He's had a great mentor, if you will, pastor, if you will, all that other stuff. I'm not even into the mentorship, but, you know, whatever they call it. But from a what was it, 16, 18? 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, to where they are as men. They have an unction and anointing on their lives because of the house that they were raised up in. I've shared with you before, and I only share it because I believe Deacon Aquino would not get offended by me sharing this. And that is, you know, his parents used to be underneath this anointing. His whole family used to be underneath this anointing. They all left, but he stayed. And in his staying, him and Sister Kanani came into holy matrimony. And to this day, I'm not into comparing to make it look bad or anything, but it's just a truth. Truth sets you free. If you look at him and if you look at her and if you look at the others that left, there is a huge difference. Why? Because he stayed underneath the anointing and they left it. Can they get it back? Yeah, but too many are too hard-hearted and refuse to humble themselves. His daughter who just turned 11, her prayer was one of the prayer requests. I'm praying that my family will come back to God. My grandpa, my grandma, my aunts and my uncles. She's coming up underneath the anointing. I don't know why, but God has us on the anointing. It's a yoke-destroying, burden-removing anointing. It's the blessing that whatever we put our hands to, it prospers. Sister Monica, it's on you. It's on you. I remember the time of speaking. You're a flower getting ready to bud and blossom. And look, you're not only blossoming on your job, but you blossom in your belly. God has blessed you with another child. That's the anointing. Side trip, y'all could argue about it. You can tell them, don't talk to me anymore. But Brother Vincent was sharing with me of how you're at the job, and he was sharing it with gladness. How about that job situation? She's there and she can bring peace in a chaotic environment. Everybody else is at wit's end and she's got peace and she's ministering that peace to the people that she has to deal with. Her boss is trying to find a way to keep her. That's the blessing and favor of God. That's the anointing of God. And that same anointing abideth on you, abideth in you. It's on you to prosper. It's on you so that what you set your hand to, it will prosper. Hallelujah. Don't get frustrated in your situation. Release the anointing on it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, you've given me an anointing that destroys yokes. Destroy the yokes. Whatever's holding, whatever's hindering, whatever's keeping us down. Lord, cut that thing off in Jesus' name. I bind, I break it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll just say no limits. Glory, glory, glory. So now you see how you can be blessed in the 50. 50. 50 means 50. I don't know why I said 50, but I meant to say city. But 50 is all right too. Whoever 50 need to go to. 50 is short for 50. You take it. Amen. Somebody give it a 50. Bless God. Give a $50 increase in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So now you can see how you can be blessed in your basket and blessed in your store. Now you see how you can be blessed when you come in. Search your heart, search your mind. Now mind you, you're receiving this. Others who are not here are not receiving this. So if they come in all messed up, just say, brother, sister, hey, you know what? You need to check yourself. You got an anointing on you. Hallelujah. And that anointing is on you to work on your behalf or for your benefit and for God's glory. Blessed shalt thou be when you go out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. So don't be moved when people act out of sorts around you. You can give them a warning, and don't do it in cockiness and arrogance, but out of humility. Just, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Well, who do you think you are? I'm a son or daughter of the Most High God, and I wouldn't do that if I were you. There's an anointing on my life, and the anointing will cause my enemies who come at me to be scattered before me.